Good morning, church. Good morning, in-person church, and good morning, live stream church. Did you know we have churches everywhere? Did you know that? Are you ready to worship this morning? I want to read to you from God's Word. Let this be our prayer this morning as we enter into this time of worship. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glorify the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. Are you ready to exalt His name this morning? All right, that was really kind of weak. Are you ready to exalt His name this morning? All right. Let's pray. Come, Holy Spirit. We invite you into this place. We invite you into our heart. We pray that you would stir us today, that you would transform us, you would change us. God, that you would surprise us. We pray that everything we do and we think and we sing would lift high the name of Jesus. And it's in the precious and holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Rise if you are able as we worship.
Good morning, church. It's good to be here with you this morning. Let's pursue God. Let's pursue the Lord Jesus Christ with all we are, giving Him thanks and praise, for He is good.
Praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety.
Break throughs on our side, forever lifted.
good. God is so good. Marv over here every Sunday, he always says, give him heaven. I love the bridge of that last song. This is what heaven sounds like. This is heaven practice. We're practicing the sounds of heaven this morning. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Oh, how sweet. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me beneath the healing cleansing blood. Well, Jesus, how I trust him, and how I proved him more and more. Jesus, my precious Jesus, oh, what grace to trust him more. Yes, to trust in Jesus. Yes, it's sweet to trust in Jesus. Just from sin and self to cease. Just from Jesus simply taking my life and rest and joy. Jesus, how I trust him, and how I fruit him more and more. Jesus, my precious Jesus, oh, what grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, my precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that you are with me, you will be with me till the end. Jesus, give our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause. That song kind of sticks to your ribs. You'll be singing it all week. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. Children, you are going to be dismissed this morning. All right, but everybody, let's sit down first, right? Yes. I've messed up both services. I'm just going to leave now.
We love you anyway, Cody. You know, I was just, as we were worshiping just now, and I'm looking around the room, you ever just feel overwhelmingly blessed? You ever feel that? I mean, just it just kind of wells up. That's what I feel this morning, just overwhelmingly blessed to be a part of this fellowship with you, each one of you. So anyway, just thought I'd share that. So Victor and Lisa Bruns, come on down. You're not the first contestant on The Price is Right, but...
I knew you when you had hair.
Okay, Victor comes to join the church this morning.
I'm not allowed in, huh?
No. No. We'll take you. They'll love you. How's that? Victor and Lisa, I've obviously known a long time, and they were members of our church for a long time, and actually went to another church because they felt the call to help another church kind of do, you know, start and do some ministry. But they're back. They're back. Yes, we're so glad that you are. And you're gonna have to get in line to make fun of me. It's a long line. So both of you are believers in Jesus Christ. You've confessed Him as your Lord and Savior. You've been baptized, and we accept that and receive that. Is Jesus still the Lord of your life?
Yes.
Amen. Will you be loyal to this church with your prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness? Amen. I'm going to hug your neck.
Okay.
Y'all, yes. Y'all make sure that Victor and Lisa don't get away from here without a greeting them. Cody, is it okay if I dismiss the children now? All right. Children, come and meet Miss Carlene and Miss Teresa for Children's Church.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Good. Y'all excited to hear Pastor Jeff's sermon this morning? You can be honest. I sat through the early one. It was tough. But we'll get through it. No, I'm kidding. We like to harass each other, and I got to be honest, we are very blessed to have a man like him to lead our congregation. Okay. And I'll tell y'all something pretty cool. Pastor Jeff didn't know what I was going to speak about today. I didn't know what he was going to preach on. And after sitting through that early service, it was like we had planned it together. It's almost like God's in control. It's weird. But I'm Jason Acevedo, and I wanted to share some some exciting things going on here at Wiley Methodist. Got to start by telling y'all I feel very unqualified to be up here speaking. We're doing a Bible study in our community group, and something the pastor said stuck with me. He said that God does not equip you and then call you. He calls you and then He equips you. So hopefully I'm equipped. But first off, we're going to be having a combined men's breakfast with Wiley Baptist over at their fellowship hall next Saturday at 7:30 in the morning. Great opportunity to fellowship with some brothers from our church and from theirs. Usually we're done by about 8:30, have some good food, have a good breakfast. So all are invited, nothing you need to do, just show up. Next, we are also having a men's summit February 17th and 18th out at the Baptist encampment in Luters. This is also going to be a combined event with Wiley Baptist as well as Mount Zion Baptist. And if you'd like to attend, we're wrapping it up by February 8th. So if you'd like to attend, you can sign up on the Wiley Methodist app, or I can get you a paper sign-up sheet. But I went last year. I can tell you, guys, this is something that will really bless you. Hotel-style accommodations, so we're not roughing it. There's no camping. The food is good. Now, I did want to go through some potential roadblocks that, you know, and speaking to some guys that, you know, reasons you wouldn't want to go. And the number one reason I hear is, Jason, I'm an introvert. I don't like, you know, big groups, but nothing to worry about. Half the guys there are introverts. You're not required to say a word. If you want to sit back and just enjoy the word, enjoy the music, you're more than welcome, and nobody's going to force you to get out of your comfort zone. And I guarantee if you do go, you're going to leave with some new Christian brothers. So the second reason I've heard is, I don't know if I want to hang out with a bunch of Baptists. Which, you know, I won't, they are very misguided, but it's a good group of guys, and they did personally assure me there will be no forced baptisms in the creek behind the encampment. But in all seriousness, it's a group of men that are earnestly seeking to get deeper in their relationship with Jesus, and we put our denominations aside for 24 hours and just fellowship. The third and probably most important reason, my wife cannot live without me for 24 hours. But guys, I promise you, she can do it. If mine can do it, I mean, I know yours can. So if you guys would like to come and spend a day with us, getting deeper in your relationship with Christ, please come. And then the final announcement, our church is sending missionaries back to Panama this year. We're going to have two groups. A group in July that I'll be taking that's kind of a medically focused group. And then a second trip in September that's going to be led by Amanda Duke that's going to be more oriented toward construction. Now, compared to last year, it's going to be a lot less strenuous. You will get to sleep on a cot or in a bed, so it's not nearly as the privation's not as bad. And I can tell you after being there, anybody that's interested in going, I would encourage you to go. Because just your presence blesses those people. You know, they didn't say it in these words, but the fact that someone would ride the church bus to DFW and then fly to Panama City on a six-hour flight, then take a bus 7 hours into the jungle just to be there. I mean, you show those people Jesus. You don't just talk about it, you show it to them. So anyone that's interested can touch base with me or Amanda. Both of our emails are in the church directory. And then now, if you guys would, please pray with me. Lord, you have told us that the harvest is bountiful, but the workers are few. I ask you today to make us your workers, to get out in the world and be active builders of your kingdom. Whether it's a men's ministry, whether it's a Panama mission trip, whether it's any number of other opportunities to serve you. Your word tells us to show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. We all know that we are saved by grace and not by our deeds, but I ask you to give us servants' hearts that earnestly seek to build your kingdom. I ask this in your name, and now we pray as you have taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you guys would like to register attendance, you can do that on the Wiley app, and you can also, if you'd like to make your tithe, you can do that through the Wiley app, or there's boxes on either side of the sanctuary if you're old school and like cash or checks. Thank you.
speak Jesus.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name.
Christ alone,
Christ alone, the cornerstone, the weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, the Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. In Christ alone, the cornerstone, the weak alone, the cornerstone.
Is the Holy Spirit welcome here, church? Amen. Amen. Want to welcome you. If you are our guest this morning, really especially glad that you are here. I got to introduce my friend, Pastor Riley Hood from St. John's Baptist Church. I've known Pastor Hood for about 18 years probably, Pastor, and have grown to love this guy and his church and his neighborhood that he ministers to, and we are part of that ministry. We help them in several ways that we can. We've come alongside them, so it's good to have you with us this morning, brother. If you are our guest this morning, there's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out, and I would love to meet you. I know this sounds like, if you're a used car salesman, don't be offended. I know this sounds like a used car salesman, but this is a great church. And because you guys make it great and because you focus on Jesus. I love that song, I Speak Jesus. Man, my little granddaughter turns 4 today, and I got to tell you this. When I think of that song, I'm going to share this tonight at our Exalt message as well. But when I hear that song, I Speak Jesus, when she's afraid, and they go in and she's at night and she's afraid, you know, like all of us little kids have done, they'll go in and she'll say, "In the name of Jesus, go away." And then she says, "Jesus has superpowers." Doesn't he? There's power in just his name. I love it that my little 4-year-old granddaughter knows that. So turn with me, if you would, to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. Beginning in verse 32. They, meaning the disciples, were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And the disciples were astonished, while those who followed were afraid. Again, that's an important word, again, he took the 12 aside and told them what was going to happen to him. "We're going up to Jerusalem," he said. These are the words of Christ. "And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him, spit on him, flog him, and kill him." And I told the early service, how did Jesus know this? That was beyond his control, the knowing that the soldiers would spit on him. 3 days later, he will rise, Jesus says. Then James and John, so I'm going to stop there a second. So Jesus has just kind of painted this picture, this awful picture of suffering. And poor old James and John, bless their little pea-picking hearts. "Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit on your right and the other on your left in your glory." Wow. "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John, I imagine. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. We trust that you are here already. And we invite you to speak to us. stir hearts, speak in power and authority, transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. I read about a woman who telephoned a friend and was just asking how she was feeling. And the lady on the other end of the line said, "Terrible. My head is killing me. My back is killing me. My knees are killing me. The kids are driving me crazy. The house is a mess. I don't even know how I'm going to fix anything for lunch." And this sweet caller said, "Listen, go lie down. I'll come right over. I will fix you some lunch. I'll clean the house. I'll tend to the kids while you get some rest. Then I'll fix some dinner for Sam, so when he comes home from work, Sam will have supper ready for him." And the lady said, "Sam? Who's Sam?" And there was a long pause. The lady said, "I must have dialed the wrong number. I am so sorry." Another long pause. And the lady says, "Does that mean you're not coming over?" Some people are just servants, yes? And some people, maybe not so much. Today's message, we're continuing the sermon series, Authentic Christianity. And remember, I say this every week on this series, this is not to evaluate others, but to examine ourselves. It's a very important point. Today's message is, a Christian serves. You know, God has put it really plainly in His Word. I'm just going to dive right into His Word here with you. An authentic Christian puts others' needs above their own. Puts others' needs above their own. Now, that doesn't mean that we're supposed to be just kind of this person that everybody stomps on. But when our focus is on ourselves, that many times that can lead to depression. There's other reasons you can be depressed. There's medical reasons, but when we're focused on ourselves, we kind of can have this "woe is me" attitude. But when I tell people a lot of times, man, turn your eyes out, start serving, go to the food pantry, do things for others, and see if that doesn't break through. So here's a question as I read this scripture today, a question that occurred to me: do we want to be great in the eyes of Jesus? That's a question to soak in for a second. Do we want to be great in His eyes? Jesus tells us how to be great in His eyes. Jesus said, "Whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant." It flips the economy of our culture. Our culture says, "Look after you." That the world revolves around us. How many times do we hear things like, "Well, I have the right to do this, and that's against my rights," and all this stuff? Man, when we have the heart of Christ, He tells us to be great in His eyes, we must be a servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Jesus is teaching that to us. Philippians 2, one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. Read through the first 15 verses or so of Philippians 2. But 3 and 4, verse 3 and 4 says, Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should not look only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. And again, in Matthew 23, Jesus says, "The greatest among you will be your servant, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." So, you have those people that you run across that are kind of boastful. Y'all have probably never. And if you can't think of anyone else, it might be you. I'm just saying. But does anybody attracted to that? Is anybody like, "Hey, I want to be friends with that dude because he's really arrogant"? When we toot our own horn, that's not attractive. That's not a way to draw people. The humble draw people. Don't you love being around humble people? Not someone who, like, hey, I want everybody in the world to walk all over me. Not that, but humble servants. And we have many of you sitting in these chairs that I greatly admire. The greatest among you will be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. To be an authentic Christian, we need to put others' needs above our own. Secondly, to be an authentic Christian demonstrates their faith through action. It's one thing to talk a good game, but I believe Jesus is looking for action. Now, this is not earning our salvation. Please hear me that service is not about earning our salvation. It's about being great in the kingdom of God. That Jesus is saying, you want to be great? Be humble. Doesn't say, we're not talking about salvation here. James chapter 2. What good is it, brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? And, you know, again, we have such a wonderful church and so many of you are such servants. But God, this is what's on my heart for us, church. God wants us all in. Every one of us, all in. You know, I can't even tell you how many times I hear, well, you know, 20% of the people do 80% of the work in a church, and 20% of the people give financially to, you know, the other 80% for the 80%, whatever. And it's like, man, God wants us all in. I'll talk more about that in just a moment. If a man claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such faith save him? Faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But if someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds, show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. Again, this is not about earning our salvation. It is a demonstration of our faith. I'm kind of jumping ahead, but this I feel led to say this right now. If Jesus took the stripes for us, He took the nails for us. And if that doesn't impact, I mean, if we get that, if we understand that He loves us that much, and we get that, and we don't respond to it, perhaps we maybe don't even get it. I know that's intense, but I believe that's the Lord speaking that. The parable of the talents we find in Matthew 25, and most of us know that parable, but the landowner, Jesus tells this parable, the landowner, he entrusts one talent to one of his servants, two to another, and five to another. And he goes away and he says, you know, I'm giving, entrusting these to you. He goes away and the one with five, he invests it and doubles it. And I was telling the early service, so many times this passage in this parable is used as a stewardship message, but I think we're talking about all the gifts God gives us. Our time, our money, our resources, our love, all of it. And so he invests the five talents and he doubles it. And the one with two invests his talents that the landowner had given him, and he doubles it. And the one, afraid that he might lose his talent, digs a hole in the ground and buries it. The landowner comes back. And he meets up with the one with five talents, and he says, well done. Don't you want to hear that someday? I want to hear that. Well done, good and faithful servant. And then the one with two that doubled his, well done, good and faithful servant. And guess what? The one who buried his in the ground, it was not a pleasant homecoming for him. I believe so many times the gifts that God gives us, the body of Christ, we bury it in the ground. It's like, I know I could do that. I hear it all the time with practical things. And this sermon is not to enlist workers, because we got lots of servants in our church that are doing lots of things. But again, I think there's more. I think there's some of us that's not happening. I believe some of us have buried our talent in the ground. But I hear this a lot, you know, we need a Sunday school teacher. well, man, I just don't know the Bible really that well. And my response to that would be, so are you reading the Bible so you'll catch up? What are you doing about advancing that? Maybe we could check back with you in a couple of years. Or, I don't have time. Or, man, I am the worst. I make time for what I want time to have. We have all these excuses. But Jesus says, you want to be great in the kingdom of God? Be a servant. That's what greatness is. And like I say, I look around this room and I see so many servants. Thirdly, an authentic Christian follows the example of Jesus. Man, we want to know what a servant looks like. We want to know what a humble servant looks like. Someone that puts others' needs before their own. Look to Jesus. This last verse of this passage today, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And you hear me say it every Sunday when we close the service, go and you hear the action to that? Go. I mean, don't just come here and be consumers of his word. Go. Tell someone what Jesus has done for you. Go make disciples. Jesus woos us unto himself. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Come to me. And then he sends us out. The Christian life is not a life of consumerism. It's a life of servanthood. I hope some folks are being challenged this morning. I know I am. Philippians, the rest of that Philippians 2 passage that I started a while ago, says your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing. Taking the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Now listen to this, there's that word, therefore. Because he humbled himself, even though he was should have been held high and exalted, he humbled himself. Because of that, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Jesus has superpowers. Did you know that? The name. I'm telling you, if you're struggling with something, anything in your life, if you're struggling with depression, if you're struggling with anger, unforgiveness, whatever, use the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. I mean, that's not just a fancy phrase. There's power. Is this on? Steve, is this on? There's power in the name of Jesus. Use it. Wield it. Our attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus. And as we go into a time of communion, I want to say this. This struck me a couple of years ago. You've heard me say it, but I will say it again and again because I think it's important. This opening verse of our passage today. Jesus, they were on their way to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. Now, that's powerful. This same Jesus that had been telling his disciples what, and then it says, he told them again, I'm going to be handed over, I'm going to be betrayed, I'm going to be whipped and spit on, I'm going to be nailed to a cross, I'm going to die, and I'm going to rise on the third day. He's detailing it out, and yet, the very place this is going to happen, Jerusalem, he's leading the way. Why would he do that? Because he loves us. Because he loves us. And he doesn't just say he loves us. He demonstrates to us his love. And it's something we remember when we partake of this table. On the night he was betrayed and deserted, he knew what was coming. If you'd been in that region, you'd seen people crucified. He knew what was coming. And he took the bread and he broke it. Can you imagine when he broke that bread, he was thinking about what laid in front of him? He took the bread, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you." And crucifixion was no safe, clean, tidy act. It was messy. It was bloody. And he took the cup and he blessed it and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant established in my blood." And he said, when you do this, when you partake of this meal, he didn't give us all kinds of instructions. Well, you need to do it once a month. Or it needs to be done exactly this way. No, he said, do it and remember me. Remember what this meal means. So if you would pray with me, just begin with a prayer of confession of our sin before a holy God, a loving and merciful God. If you'll pray in your own heart. Father, we thank you for this table. Would you make this body, this bread and this cup be the body and blood of Christ for us? We are humbled at your precious gift, how you humbled yourself and became even obedient to death. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Amen. So Christ our Lord invites you to his table. The invitation is not from me. It's not from our church. The invitation is from Christ himself. It's his table. And for you to come and partake, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you have repented of your sins and you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are welcome to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church or any church for that matter if you love Jesus. I'd also say that if you are not a follower of Jesus Christ, if you haven't taken that step in your journey, I would encourage you not to partake of this meal. This is for people who have professed faith in Christ. So you're also welcome to not participate if you don't wish to do that. So if those who are serving would come forward, I'll serve you. Christ has invited you to his table. These two stations over here and these two stations over here, you'll be given a piece of bread. You'll dip it into the cup, partake in that manner. If you'd rather have the individual elements, you can come to the center line. If you do come to the center, I encourage you to go ahead and go back to your seat and open and partake there, and you can discard your empty when you leave the sanctuary. Christ invites you to his table. Come.
Lay my whole life.
Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to serve, but to be served. Did not come to be served, but to serve. I told you, read your Bible for yourself. To give his life as a ransom for many. That's good news, church. Go and tell someone we're dismissed. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.